Have had a chance to meet Pastor Bo. You've met him. If you have not met Pastor Bo, you need to come back this Sunday. I'm not sure which gathering he's going to come to, but he told me he's going to be here this Sunday. You need to meet him. And it was 7 years ago. I sat down with him, with he and his wife. His wife Karen's our superintendent here in our school district, and. He had senior pastored for 40 years and lead pastored for 40 years, and I was just the new pastor here, and I sat down with him in Anchorage for dinner, and I said, Pastor, you paddled your own canoe a long time. Are you willing to watch a young guy paddle a canoe or try to paddle a canoe while you sit? And he says, Mark, he said, I was your age one time, and he said, someone my age turned me down to come work with me. He said, I was disappointed. He says, I want to be a father to a young man. And so Pastor Bo, you know, what a great story he has. Love that man. You know, today, I'm super excited about today. But before I preach, you know, we do record this and we live stream this. There's people watching right now. They'll be watching on CBS. Would you give it up for those watching right now and welcome them? But man, today's history-making day. I don't know if you know that. It's history-making day. I don't know if we look at your neighbor right now and say, you're a part of history. And I don't know if you understand this, but there was a day I leaned over to Pastor Rob a moment ago and I said, Rob, do you realize a year and a half from now, we're going to have a grand opening in a place with more space? And it starts somewhere. And these folks in this photo on the wall here, in fact, this last week, one of our elders in our church, Elizabeth Baker, stood over here right underneath the M and took a selfie. Isn't that awesome that you can have a senior take a selfie? Okay. She took a selfie and said, she's the black-haired lady with a couple little pearls in her hair right there on the bottom. And she was sitting in that room when they received the offerings and the pledges to build what is our multi-purpose room where the kids are right now. And to think, and she says, it's so exciting that I've been in this church for 50-some years. And she says, we did it once and we're going to do it again. And so today's a celebration gathering. At the end of our gathering, we're all going to have a chance to walk up and take the next step on our generosity journey. And I'm excited about that. But this Friday night, don't forget, this Friday night, 7 o'clock, College Road, 3295 College Road, our venue over there. We're going to pack that place out. We're going to have a time of worship, a time of prayer. How many of you guys like it when you can worship? And if you want to keep worshiping, you don't have to stop because you don't have to have like the next gathering or whatever. So we have a worship night coming up and prayer night this Friday, 7 o'clock. There's childcare provided. Bring your kids out if you want. We're going to have a great night. But today really is about moving True North Church in the direction of our preferred future. It's moving to where, and really, it's to maximize what? Our church's capacity to do what? Reach our city. And I want to look at a text, and Pastor Bo talked about it in his story, or in his testimony, or God's story there, and he made a mention of it. But there's a story that we read, and we kind of jump over it, because it's on the Tower of Babel, and it's where these, well, let's go there. Genesis chapter 11. It'll be on the screens. If you're watching online, you'll see it pop up on the bottom, lower thirds. But Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 6, it says, now the whole world had one language. Wouldn't that be easy to travel with one language? Wouldn't that be nice? No cultural challenges, difficulties. Every language is the same. And of course, it's Spanish, right, Heidi? No. The whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. And they said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And I love this. It says they used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, in other words, they were creative. They realized to do something new. We don't always have to do the same thing. You know what insanity is, right? Doing the same thing and expecting different results. They were creative. If we're going to build something, let's do something new. Let's be innovative, out of the box. And this is this, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so we may make a name for ourselves. And this is the part that makes it a negative story because their motives were wrong. Their motive was not to win a city. and to build some type of building that reaches people for Jesus. No, what was it? It was to build themselves a city so they could build a name for themselves. And I can tell you right now, when we talk about Church Pasadena, it's because we're a people of faith who are living on mission. It's Jesus's mission. He's gonna build the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church He builds. And that's what we're talking about. It's not for ourselves. In fact, part of it is when we talk about a place with more space, we're talking about a place that people who haven't been born yet are going to experience. It's not about us. If you have kids, you start to realize a long time ago, it's not about you anymore. You got to start worrying about them. And you try to raise them to think about other people, not themselves, right? And then it goes on. It says to make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the earth. But the Lord came down. Story shifts right there. But is the conjunction, junction, what's your function? But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. And the Lord said, in other words, the Lord saw what he was doing. He heard them communicating. And listen to what this commentary is. This is probably one of the most profound leadership verses if you run a business or you have a family or you have a company or you have a team you're networking and working with. If you can get this principle down or if you're a part of something called Church Pasadena at True North, it says this, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that people were building. And the Lord said, if, as what? One people. Speaking the what? Same language. They've begun to do this. Then nothing. And I looked up that word nothing in the Hebrew language. It means nothing. Nothing will be impossible. In fact, impossible, if you look it up in the Hebrew language, it means will be out of bounds for them. In other words, there's nothing out of bounds. If as one people speaking the same language, they begin to do something, then anything they put their hands to, they'll get to. And so God came down, and what did he do? The Bible, the next verse, I don't have it on the screen here. He confused their language. The very thing they thought they could put together if they built something for themselves was the very thing that God said, listen, it's not about you. You're building something for yourself. If you want to build something for yourself, God's going to come and confuse that because life is not about us. So tonight, I want to unpack this today. Four truths from this passage, and then we're going to celebrate. And this is a bigger celebration, friends, than listen. We celebrate when our children are born. How many of you guys celebrate when your children are born? And then you celebrate the first month. They're like, oh, they're 13 days old today, you know. You celebrate every day. You lay them on a blanket, take a picture. You know, put a little wreath around every day. And then you celebrate what? You celebrate the first tooth. You celebrate the first, when they roll over finally. Hopefully they roll over before they have the first tooth. And you celebrate when they're finally potty trained. You celebrate when they start eating solid food. You celebrate when they start walking. You celebrate when they start driving. And then you start paying the bill. You quit celebrating. We celebrate for lots of things, but sometimes understand what we're going to celebrate tonight is we're celebrating the people, most, if not all of us, that are saying, I'm taking the next step in my generosity journey. Because I think the last thing that gets saved in a person's life is their pocketbook. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart. I remember hearing someone talk about, they were interviewing these world champion, like Olympic champion high jumpers, and they're interviewing the coaches. And one of the coaches says, you know, the reason why my jumper jumps higher than everyone else, because my jumper gets his heart over the bar. Because if he figured out if he could get his heart over the bar, he could get his whole body over the bar. If we can figure out where our heart is, our body will follow it. And so I want to talk about four truths from this passage, but no, it's a celebration service. Number one, if as one people, say one. In other words, one people, a people of faith. And here's True North. Church Pasadena is all about us being a people of faith, living on what? Mission. And building a place with more space. Friends, this is a faith initiative. This is to raise the faith of God's people to take the next step. And I can tell you right now, I've been a part of two churches that have grown incredible world-shaking ministries. And I believe why they did that is because they took a cadre, a group of folks. We have six gatherings. And if every one of our gathering takes the next step, we have grown your personal capacity. At the same time as the church's capacity, because the church is you. If it's one people living on mission, building a place with more space, they were one people. And the second of all, it says they spoke the same language. In the Hebrew language, that word language literally means they said the same words. They said the same things. And so this church passed the initiative. We've been talking about certain things. We've been talking about why. Why? Because we do what? We carry the what? We carry the cure. Why do we have a dog sled team up here? Because in 1925, when diphtheria hit Nome, 150 dogs and 20 mushers partnered together. And then Togo did most of the work. Balto got most of the credit. And we're the next dog in the fight called Let's Go. We carry the cure. We're not building a building because we want a big building. We're building that place with more space because we want more souls to come into the kingdom, because we believe that Jesus changes everything. He's better than a diphtheria serum. He's better than anything that you could jab in your arm for any pandemic, whatever that's going on around here. God is the answer to the world's problems. And we carry that cure. Why? Because lost people matter to God, and so they matter to us because we carry Jesus inside of us. Who's it all about? It's about all of us. We talked about Joshua and his mighty men, and we talked about Joshua and his entire army and the elite fighting men. They all marched through the night to go battle against the Amalekites, whose kingdoms came together against the Gibeonites, and they marched through the night. And then God began to win the battle, but all of them marched through the night. All of them did the extra effort. Why? Because who's this for? It's for the people surrounded by the devil right now, surrounded by the enemy. It's for our friends. It's for our neighbors, and it's for those who are not yet born. And that's why we have sticky notes up here. That's why we wrote down groups of people. And this one says every parent who has a mental ill child in their house. Cody, Eric, there's names up here. There's people, in fact, around the buckets where we're gonna give our commitments tonight. These are people's names that you wrote. Why? Because we're believing as we give and build a place with more space, there are pockets and people in our community they'll come to know Jesus. It's not about us. It's not about us. Life's too small when you make it about you. They call that selfishness, right? And at True North Church, we say this all the time. We are not consumers. We are contributors. Who's this for? Again, our friends and neighbors. What? It's a 30,000 square foot building, worship center, a kids center at 3295. And listen, since it's just you and me here tonight, I'm gonna show you what the video looks like. For the first time, we have a walkthrough in the video. No one else has seen it. Are you okay being the first? Let's take a look at what it's gonna look like. So what happens when it turns real cold real fast? The lights come out, right? You guys like that? You guys excited about that? Could you imagine the people getting saved when they walk to that door and they hear the ABCs because we've been praying for them and God's paving the way and we're like John the Baptist, we're just kind of paving it for them. And how? How will it happen? If it's one people speaking the same language, how? It's going to happen when 100% of us take the next step in our generosity journey. And we've been talking about that, this is the language we've been using. If you've never given, would you say, I'll be a first-time giver, I'll give for the very first time. And that's worth celebrating. When we celebrate when someone takes their first step, or when our child says their first word, or they drive for the first time, or they have their first, I don't know if I celebrate when my daughters have their first boyfriend. But the first time. When they're potty trained for the first time, when they sleep through the night for the first, there's things we celebrate. But with God, when someone says, I'm going to give to God for the first time, that's worth celebrating. And tonight, some people are going to do that. On Sunday, on the weekends, in all of our gatherings, there's going to be people who take that next step. And there's going to be people who say, I'm going to begin to give consistently. Maybe give it off and on once or twice, here or there. But maybe there's going to be people who say, I'm going to give consistently. I'm gonna log into the giving portal on the website and I'm gonna start to do a reoccurring giving that's gonna go into church pastoring, go into the one fund and help cover the operations of this church and take the church into the place where we build a place of more space. Or intentional, where people say, I'm gonna begin to give intentionally. It might be $10 a month, $100 a month, $1,000 a month, $1,500 a month. There's some folks who made pledges of a couple $100,000, and there's people gonna make pledges of $150 over the next couple of years, and $10 a month's a lot for them. It's not about the amount of zeros, it's about the sacrifice we all take. And then there's the sacrificial givers, and those are people that are saying, I'm gonna change, my lifestyle is gonna change because I'm doing giving. And here's what I know, there's no way, so I'm convinced, God's love language is sacrifice. You ever read that book, Five Love Language? Yeah. You know, but for God so loved the world that he gave and sacrificed his only son that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting. I believe sacrificing is that's God's love language. When you sacrifice, you open the heart of God over your life. I believe that. So, and then legacy giving is where someone might say, I'm not gonna be known for how much I have, but how much I give away. And every one of us is a different place. But where's the next step for you? 100% of us taking the next step. If it's one people speaking the same language, so that's the language we've been saying, we begin to do something. Say do something. And we begin to do that. In the last 2 years, we've purchased 17 acres on College Road. We've remodeled the existing building on College Road with cash. We have two gatherings on Sunday. This last week, they're just shy of 300 people on Sunday morning over there in our two gatherings. It's incredible. We've reproduced our serve teams. We've got kids leaders over there, kids leaders over here. Pastor Cole, he got married a week ago and thought it was okay to be away from church. And then he was away from church here again this last Sunday because he was at College Road. Why? Because he's raised up enough leaders. Because that's what I love is we have seven gatherings in two venues and hundreds of leaders who make it happen. And so it helped us duplicate our serve teams. We've engaged with our engineers and architects. That's where we've come a long ways. And the architects are pretty smart at knowing what we like, aren't they? How many of you guys walk in, you look at that and think like, they nailed it. We've engaged them. We're moving forward. It's a $9 million building that is going to be phased in and phases to do that. And our book talked about that. And our goal and prayer is to raise above tithes and offerings the next 2 years, $3 million. This building's worth $3 million, and we'll borrow $3 million, $9 million. And you might say, $9 million is a lot of money, Mark. Yeah, but so is eating an elephant. But you eat the elephant one bite at a time. Got to start. I think Robert Schuller, maybe some of you heard him, at the Crystal Cathedral said, inch by inch, it's a cinch. Yard by yard is hard. But mile by mile, let's smile. Let's start, right? And so we're doing something. If it's one people speaking the same language, we begin to do something. If we live on mission, we begin with faith, then guess what? the Bible says that what? Nothing will be what? Impossible. Did you, how many of you would feel if I told you right now we're halfway there with the money? 42 individuals or couples. This last Friday night, we had a banquet for some people that we called pace setters to set the pace with the giving initiative here. And 42 people and individuals and couples pledged $1.6 million over the next 2 years toward this project. Above and beyond the tithe. That's pretty awesome. All right? So guess what? If as one people speaking the same language, we begin to do something, the next thing is God comes down and says, he looks at what they're doing and he goes, oh my goodness, if as one people they begin to speak the same language, what does he say? Nothing will be impossible. Nothing's out of bounds. It's going to happen. He's going to make it happen. Nothing's off limits. This text is about the Tower of Babel. They're building a tower for themselves. But remember, a couple weeks ago, we talked about Jesus, who do people say I am? And he finally says, Simon Peter, who do you think I am? He says, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says, that was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. And then he says, upon that rock, Peter, upon that confession that Jesus is the Son of the living God and the Messiah, I will build my church. And that word build, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, means to erect buildings and to build and grow people. It's a metaphor. And then he says, so upon this rock, upon the Messiah and the Son of the living God, I'm going to erect buildings and I'm going to build people. And they're going to gather in an ecclesia, the church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Nothing's impossible. And then we talked about the king, the person, if he's going to build a tower, he wants to make sure he has what? Enough material and the right resources to do it so he doesn't look like a fool when he starts. And that, so and suppose the king goes off to war. He's not going to call in the people around. Well, guess what? We kind of called in the 42, the leaders the other day, and they kind of said, yeah, I think we have enough. Let's open it up to everyone else to partner with us too, because nothing's impossible for the ecclesia who gathers. And so God can erect buildings and build people. Nothing's impossible. They're building the tower for themselves. We're going to the battler and builder of planet Earth and the kingdom of God on Earth. And we're partnered with him. And he says, nothing's impossible. If nothing's impossible, that means we'll impact special needs community in our city. Yeah. If nothing's impossible, that means we can shift the suicide rates. Yeah. And someday, every chaplain on a military base, there'll never be another suicide you have to worry about in Jesus' name. With the 425 couples come and we pack out that room for a marriage conference, do you think we can shift the divorce rates in Fairbanks? I think we can, because if it's one people speaking the same language, nothing's impossible for God. Nothing. 850 women who come, and maybe some of them struggle with mental illness or drug addictions, but they get in that atmosphere with other ladies who've prayed the way and paved the way in prayer. And the presence of God is in that atmosphere in a women's conference. God still sets the captive free, releases the oppressed, and gives sight to the blind. Because nothing's impossible when, if as one people, they speak the same language and they begin to do something, nothing is impossible. Because my God said he'll build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail, which means it's possible with God. Could you imagine? I don't know if you know this, the last 5 weeks, there's been over 200 students in our youth ministry every single week. Could you imagine the day when there's 500 and they're packed out on the ground floor of that new sanctuary because we don't have another room for them because another room's not big enough. They gotta be in the big church. Could you imagine 850 kids there for mega sports camp? That's a lot of BO and stinky butts. Maybe you don't wanna imagine that part. You don't want to scratch and sniff for that. All right. But could you imagine? Sorry. Not sure where that came from. But if it's one people speaking the same language, we begin to do something, nothing will be impossible. This morning about 4:30, I was up writing and praying. And there's a phrase God gave me this morning. He says, friends, this is about faith and mission over money. Listen, It's about faith and mission over money. However, how we exercise our faith over our money will help facilitate the mission. And I've often said at True North Church, we'll do anything short of sin to reach people far from Jesus. We'll do what no one's doing to reach people no one's reaching. And I've said it all the time that we're in a rashly generous church. We truly believe we're more blessed to give than receive. Why? Because we are better than State Farm. Like a good neighbor, True North is there. But guess what? This new building will allow us to be a bigger neighbor, to reach more of our friends and more of the loved ones and people we'll never see. Someday, the back of your heads will be, they'll put name tags over you for the ones that we can recognize. And maybe the ones with no hair will recognize more than the ones with hair. I don't know. But this is what I know. In a few moments, we're gonna do what the scripture says. If it's one people speaking the same language, we begin to do something. Nothing's impossible. We're going to in a moment. I'm gonna have Heidi and the worship team come in a moment. But I wanna describe, explain one more time what our giving card looks like, what our commitment card looks like. Then we're gonna have a moment of a couple minutes of silence for some of you, maybe connect with your spouse if they're here, for you to pray and say, God, am I being faithful with taking the next step that you have me to do? And then I'm gonna have the board and my staff come, and we're gonna sing the song, Worthy of It All, because he's worthy of it all. Yeah. Worthy of it all. We're not doing this for ourselves. He's worthy of it all. It's all his. Our finances are his. We actually are stewards of what he has given us. And I'm gonna ask you, and so I'm gonna walk through the commitment card, and then I'm gonna have a sacred moment. And then we're actually gonna have everyone stand, and we'll have ushers on the aisles, and just like a wedding, they're gonna dismiss you, and you're gonna walk up this aisle to this bucket, and that aisle to that bucket, and this aisle to this bucket over here, and then you go back to your seats. The reason for that is because maybe not everyone's gonna give a card. I sure hope everyone does take the next step, but we wanna make sure everyone else has a chance to get out without stepping over you. Is that cool? And we're gonna continue worship, and then we'll close. But this time, I want to walk through what this looks like. And this is just a random hypothetical card. Let's say your annual income for your home is $65,000. The tithe is 10%. So on your card, you'd write down your tithe, which would be the 10%, what I expect to give. And then the expanded annual generosity gift. Is there anything above and beyond? And I'm just thinking, if I was this person, let's say you have a young kid in the house or a couple kids, and there's diapers and there's daycare, there's all these things, that $100 a month would be a huge, generous next step for some. And so the expanded gift would be $1,200 a month, $1,200 a year. And you add that together, it's $7,700. And that's for 1 year. And then you times that times two, and it comes up to $15,400. But they say, there's a couple of us in the house. We don't think the state's gonna take away all of our dividends. And so we're gonna give our dividends the next 2 years. And they're estimating or guessing, maybe it's gonna be $5,000. So they say, we're gonna give the $5,000 on top of what the other sacrifices and on top of the tithe. They'd write 5,000. And so the annual 2 year goal would end up being $20,400 if you add all that up. And that's what that family would say the next 2 years, what we're giving. Because we're not saying, hey, I'm giving to the building, or I'm gonna give to youth group, or I'm gonna give to missions. We have a budget. We already this year are gonna give $300,000+. I think we've already given $268,000 away to missions already this year. It's a lot of money. And the next 2 years, as people give to this, to True North and to this generosity initiative, take the next step. As you do that, the goal would be, we're gonna build 10 churches around the globe in foreign countries and a building here. But guys, we're not gonna build a building for Jesus in Fairbanks and not build the Church of Jesus Christ for current day and saints around the world. We're gonna do that. And so we're gonna take a moment. And Heidi's gonna come, and Heidi, if you could have someone come to the keyboards to play, and we're gonna just make a sacred moment here. Guys, and you might think, well, what is this? Is this a fundraiser? No, it's a sacred moment. We're saying, God, what's our part in what you have? Would you take a moment or two, just kind of quiet your hearts and maybe bow your heads or close your eyes and just say, Lord, what is it that you would have for me to do? Maybe you came in with a number. Maybe you came in and said, I don't have anything. And God says, you know, I want you to think about this. For my wife and I, God spoke to us and we sold a house. And the profits from that house is going to help the largest offering I've ever written to a church. It probably would make up 8 or 9 years worth of my tithe. But God spoke to us. It's a sacrificial gift for us. But I tell you right now, when you're a people of faith and you live on mission, at some point, a place with more space is what you have to do. And we've done it 5 times. We can do it again. And God is always a God who does things again. Amen. Let's close with this song. Let's just worship Him. Lord, we thank you for those who took the next step tonight. Thank you, Lord.
I've seen you move.
Yes.
You move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again.
I'll see you move.
See you move. You move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. I see you move. You move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a
I got to tell you this story. It was 2 weeks ago, this Saturday, that I got a call from the chaplain at FMH and said, we need you to go meet with someone and tell them that their husband doesn't have but hours to live. And I was in Anchorage. I called up Pastor Lori Church, Lori and Nels, and said, Lori, I need you to help me. Could you go over to so-and-so's house? Let's get a conference call. And we have to have that difficult conversation that they need to unplug their husband. Well, that young man, 68-year-old young man, was in the ward at the hospital that they said no one has left that ward since COVID started. Today, he walked out of that hospital. The nurses and doctors lined up. They lined up and they're clapping and cheering because the first person walked out of the ward that they said was on the grave list. He's up from the grave. God is good. He's home sleeping in his own bed tonight. How many want to know? If he can do it once, he can do it again and again and again and again. There's people, yes. Come on. Lord, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for who you are. God, we thank you for the next steps that people took tonight. Cards in these buckets represent people who are taking the next step. God, I pray a blessing over everyone tonight who said, I'm taking the next step. And Lord, God, continue to provide. God, continue to help us reach our friends, our neighbors, our city. Help us maximize our personal capacity and our corporate capacity to reach our city, Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name.